Please, let's salute to the American flag. Attention, salute, pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Now the Christian flag. Attention, salute, pledge. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands. One Savior, crucified, risen and coming again, with life and liberty for all who believes. Now the Bible. Attention, salute, pledge. I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will hide its words in my heart that I might not sin against God.
Good evening and welcome to the commencement ceremony for the graduating class of 2019. Tonight marks one of the many milestones these seniors will have in their lives. The word commencement means a beginning, and it is the perfect way to summarize this night. This night does not only mark the end of something, but more importantly, it is the beginning of the rest of their lives. This night is not only important to these seniors, but also to their parents who have invested many years into their lives. The school is a tool that is meant to support the parents in the raising of their child, and tonight we are happy to celebrate this moment with them. Please join me as we begin tonight with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for each and every one of these seniors, Lord. Over the years, I've grown close to them, and Lord, I know that each one of them did their best so that they could say tonight that I am a graduate of the 2019 class at Freedom Academy. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for the growth we've seen in their lives, and I thank you for the parents. We know the school is not the tool that is supposed to only raise a child, but merely we're a support of the parents and what goes on at the home. We thank you for these parents and the time they've invested, and I pray that as tonight goes on, that they would just enjoy the moments and cherish the memories that they will have tonight. We pray all this in your heavenly name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now go ahead and turn with me in your hymnals to hymn number 353. Hymn number 353. Victory in Jesus, hymn number 353.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
On the third verse now.
I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. About the angels singing and the old redemption story. Then some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Excellent singing. You may be seated. Tonight's first testimony is going to come from a young man that I have grown very, very close to over just a year's span. I remember when he first came in, we all thought, man, this kid, man, he has a smile on him, but it's going to be interesting. He's going to be a project. But what we didn't know about Malik is his heart. If you know Malik, you know his heart is bigger than his body. I mean, the guy genuinely has love for people. And over this year, I've just seen growth and growth. In fact, at our award ceremony, he won what we call the most improved student. And that it was no light matter. I mean, Malik grew so much in just a year's span. And I'm excited for him. I'm excited for his future. He says he's going to go out to trade school. I'm excited to see what the Lord's going to continue to do in his life. So Malik, go on and come up here and give us your testimony.
Thank you, everybody, for coming. First, I want to thank God for allowing me to achieve one of my many goals. Honestly, this is a dream come true, and I would like to thank everyone that played a role in my success throughout school, such as my teachers and my extraordinary family. And my friends. I love you all unconditionally. I promise there's nothing in this world I wouldn't do when it comes to you all. I wish there was a way I can express myself to y'all more than a letter. But besides that, I know all of you here are proud of me. But I know this is not the end of my journey. So to my family and friends, just know y'all coming with me down this path that I got to welding. I would like to give my special thanks to my mama. Since you always been here for me and always had my back through every situation I put us through. Thank you for being the best mom you could be. To my teachers such as Ms. Shea, Ms. Jackie, and Ms. Haley and Coach, thank you for always believing in me. Y'all never once doubted me. I never had teachers that put their all into me and put so much dedication into me. Thank you. It took me a little time to mature and look at life for the bigger picture. But mama, we here, and I love you so much. Thank you for everything you did for me.
Great. Great, great testimony there, Malik. And like I said, if you know Malik, you know he meant every word he said. One thing I've learned about Malik is he's not a man of many words. He probably won't get up and tell you much, but one thing's for certain is when Malik speaks, he means every word that he says. Everything that he says, it comes from his heart. So thank you for that, Malik. Now, if you would, please stand with me. We're going to go ahead and sing our last hymn, hymn number 526, the Solid Rock, hymn number 526. We're going to sing the fourth and the fourth verse on hymn number 526.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
On the last now.
When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. In Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Great singing, you may be seated. And for our last senior testimony tonight, we have Brittany Mellons. Now, I've known Brittany going on 3 years since I've been here. And once again, something that stands out to me about Brittany is her smile. I mean, she has a radiating smile. She'll walk in the morning and she'll be smiling. And listen, I don't understand how anyone can smile at 8 o'clock in the morning. Listen, my wife doesn't smile at least until 10:30. So Brittany, she just has a contagious smile. She comes in with a bright spirit. She always is looking to make people smile, to brighten up someone's day. And Brittany this year had the highest GPA out of all of our graduates, which is something to be proud of. It's something to not be looked at lightly. So she definitely put in the work, and she has come a long way. So Brittany, come up and give us your testimonial.
I am so honored to be here in front of all of you. It felt like it would take a lifetime for this moment to arrive, and here I am now standing here today. I am beyond blessed of all measure for what God has given me. I just want to thank all the teachers who have helped me, and also for the students as well, helping me throughout the years of my life. I thank you for your time and support in helping me to achieve my goals. You have taught me the knowledge that I will use daily in the real world, and I have already been seeing it being used on a daily basis, not only in helping me to better myself in my education, but to help me grow more in my relationship with my Savior, Jesus Christ. And I want to thank for my friends. Thank you for the precious memories and everything along the journey that we went together. I want to thank for my parents for loving me so much and for taking care of me. Mom, I want to thank you for all the years of putting up with me and also for the sacrifices you have made for me and for our family. I thank you for helping me gain wisdom throughout my life and helping me see more of God's own heart. I thank you for helping me to stay strong in the Lord and for me to be a very godly woman. You have shown me according to Romans 8:18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Dad, I also want to thank you for the sacrifices and hard work that you have put up with to make our family stable. For helping me to grow more in the Lord, you taught me the importance of going to church and to help better myself in the Lord, and also to not care about the treasures of this world, and not focus on the things that are not of God. The only thing that truly matters in my life is that you have taught me is to put God first in everything I do. There's so many people that worry about the clothes that they wear, their own career, the house, the cars, and other things, and they end up losing the focus on what truly does matter, God. You have shown me according to Jeremiah 29:13-14, and ye shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Now, we are here at our graduation. It is time for the end, but also many new beginnings. Each one of us is stepping into the next level of our lives. Each one of us can play a vital role in the kingdom of God. Most people think if they allow God to take control of their lives, that God will send them into a task which they have no idea what to do and will find no joy in fulfilling it. This is not the way of God. He uses each one of our own special gifts and abilities to fulfill his purpose, which eventually becomes our purpose in our own lives. God uses each individual person to get through to people that no one may be able to reach. That is one of the things that Pastor Bailey has preached that has spoken to my heart, and not being afraid if you're different. In the past, I have always compared myself to other people that I wish I could be. But the one thing that makes me feel so blind is not appreciating what God created me to be. He has called me to do something that nobody can ever do, but I can. That he has a destiny for every individual in this room. And seeking to have full happiness and peace is staying in the will of God. God is omniscient. He knows the future. He knows the best plans for our lives. According to Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." I'm still praying to God that he would lay a desire in my heart and what major would best fit me. It is often hard to know exactly what you want to do with your life, but when you do find it, you have to be truly committed to it, especially when you have made mistakes and experienced some failures. But I can tell you this, the fact that we hate to hear the word failure when we come across it, that is the only thing that we can learn from and to better ourselves and be more successful. Also, when you have failed, you can remind yourself that it could be the beginning of something new, and that it does not mean it will be the end of it. But to successfully finish your race by completing your destiny that God has called you to do and giving him the glory for it. Thank you very much, and God bless.
encouraging, wasn't it? You love them when they're babies, right? Man, what a privilege and what an honor it is to be invited this year to deliver the commencement address to these graduates and to all of you who are gathered here with us as well. It's a privilege for us. I'm often reminded of an illustration that I heard many, many years ago about a ruler, just a simple illustration about a ruler. And it takes a lot of marks to make up a complete ruler. And if you know anything about a 12-inch ruler, there are big marks on there, those inch marks. Then there are the next size marks, the half-inch marks, and then there are the quarter-inch marks, and it goes all the way down to what, the eighth inch, and maybe even if it's a complex ruler, the 16th-inch marks. And I really feel like our school, in some way or another, whether it's a big mark or whether it's a small mark, I feel like we've left our mark on these students. And you parents have done the same, and grandparents and friends and relatives and people who have participated in their lives. The pictures tell it all. They have seen a lot. They've been around a lot. And God has richly blessed us to be able to be here with them and with you all tonight. And I'm thankful to have this small part in it as well. I'm going to read three verses of scripture, if I can, from the book of Proverbs, chapter number 4. And I want to talk about a very important subject. In God's word, the subject of wisdom is held up routinely and constantly, especially in the book of Proverbs. And our young people know about the subject of wisdom. They've been exposed to it throughout the year, in whatever the length of time they've been in our school. We talk about it routinely. We talk about it regularly because we really believe it is an incredibly, incredibly important subject. And here's the reason why. In Proverbs chapter 4, the wisest man who ever lived gave this recommendation to his son. In verse 5, he said, "Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee." Wisdom, verse 7 says, is the principal thing. "Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding." I really want to underscore that phrase at the beginning of verse number 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. And when we think about the subject of wisdom, why does the Bible call it the principal thing? The definition of that Hebrew word, of course, the Old Testament being in Hebrew, it means first in place, first in time, first in order, first in rank. Now listen to that again. Wisdom, the principal thing. That means it's first in place, first in time, first in order, first in rank. In some passages of scripture, that word is the same word in Hebrew is actually interpreted beginning. It's actually interpreted chief or chiefest. In some places, it's first fruits, first part, first time. But in this passage, it's just called the principal thing. And the reason it's called the principal thing, I think, is best illustrated by the comments of John Phillips, who said this: "Wisdom will decide what friends we make in life. It will determine our business choices. It will decide who we marry and how we bring up our children. It will decide what we believe and how we behave." Everything rises and falls in a person's life, not on education, but on wisdom. There's a difference between the two. You can have enough degrees to pop a thermometer, but if you have never obtained and acquired the biblical quality of wisdom, those degrees will be next to meaningless in your life. As I have down through the years working in schools, I've been pastoring going on 25 years, and as I have through the years been experienced with young people and operating youth camps and all types of different events with young people, from sleepovers to, man, paintball, and I mean, I've done it all, man. I've got the bruises and the marks and the scars and in some cases the broken heart to prove it. I've had a really unique vantage point. I've been able to watch young people as they develop, as they mature, as they grow, as we have these graduates that are with us tonight, we have an opportunity to observe the beginnings of a life. After birth, and then after toddlers, and then they get into school, and then when they get to this point, it's the commencement ceremony that we assume thrusts them into adulthood. Now, the world believes that as soon as you turn 18, you're an adult. I know some 40-year-olds that still don't know how to behave like an adult. And the real key is a lack of wisdom. The difference between a person who knows how to conduct themselves wisely and a person who, the opposite of wisdom is foolishness, the person who acts foolishly, is that they, in most cases, don't know how to keep what they get. Now, let me explain what I mean by that for just a moment. I understand that wisdom controls our behavior. I understand that wisdom controls our beliefs. I understand that wisdom controls our business. But it needs to be understood tonight that one of the areas in which we are failing this generation is we are telling them how to get things, but not telling them how to keep it. And I went to school with people like this. I'm not here to give my testimony this evening, but I was raised very poor. I was raised on the other side of the tracks. I was raised in the housing projects. And I was raised in an environment where crime was high and education was low, and there were a host of other conditions that I was raised in. And in those conditions, I remember going to school with young men who had maybe a rich uncle or a rich granddad or maybe even rich parents. And those people would, I believe, make the mistake of buying a vehicle for this classmate of mine. They just give it to them. And they pay for the gas, pay for the insurance, make the car payment, and whatever else was involved. All the kid had to do was drive it. They got it, but almost 99.999% of the time, we learned pretty fast, they didn't know how to keep it. They burned the tires. Everybody likes to do a juvenile spin out once in a while, right? That's not wisdom, though. In many occasions, we have taught young people how to receive, but not how to keep. And young people these days are experiencing loss at a greater degree than we've ever seen young people experience loss before. I have even, listen to me, I've had the vantage point and the unfortunate experience of seeing young people who even lost their mind because they did not get wisdom. I've seen young people get a marriage that they couldn't keep. I've seen young people get a career that because they didn't get wisdom first, they can't keep it. The sad reality is this. This is the harsh and the sad reality. He says get wisdom first because anything that you obtain or acquire before you get wisdom, you'll lose it. If you're clinging to a relationship, but that relationship is not built on wisdom, you can count on it. That relationship is going to crash and burn. If you are clinging to a career or a tract in life, maybe something that you've planned out, everything rises and falls on whether or not you obtain wisdom. And here is what is so absolutely elusive about wisdom is that in this passage of Scripture and in nearly every other passage in the book of Proverbs where wisdom is referred to, it is always referred to in the female gender when it is personified. Wisdom is always a lady. And there's a difference between a woman and a lady. A lady is tender, she's meek, she's mild, she is not oppressive, she is not forceful. And those are the qualities that wisdom has. As a lady, wisdom is very mild. Wisdom is not going to overpower you. Wisdom is not going to track you down. Wisdom is not going to be aggressive. Wisdom is not going to lay hold and never let loose. Wisdom is so timid and so very polite and so ladylike that you will barely ever hear her voice because in many cases she speaks in a very low whisper. Here's what you have to compete with. The world is screaming and yelling. all the pleasures of the world that want your attention and are competing for your attention and jockeying for your attention, they are yelling your name. They are going to call you Pat. They're going to call you Malik. They're going to call you Relia. They're going to call out to you Brittany. And as they scream and yell your name, they will demand your attention. They will not be gentlemen. They will not be ladylike. They'll grab it, and if they cannot get it, they will do whatever it takes to distract you from the principal thing. I loved the two speeches that we heard tonight. Weren't they wonderful? Malik opening up and saying, "Thank God that I'm here." That's exactly right. It is because of the fear of the Lord that we begin to be wise, is what the book of Proverbs says. And then Brittany's address all through it. She thanked God for mom. She thanked God for dad. She thanked God for pastors, for churches. She thanked God. And over and over and over, she continuously thanked God for people who have done not what? They've done what? They have not given her things. They have given her wisdom. And that wisdom was reflected tonight in our two addresses. We have no idea, absolutely, positively, no idea what ultimately will become of you four graduates. It is impossible for us to predict what life has in store. But I can tell you this, whatever you lay hold of with your hands, and whatever you try to hold close, you'll lose it. Whatever you can envision yourself being most brokenhearted if it was lost, it might be a relationship, or it might be your health even can be squandered if you don't have wisdom. And as young and as attractive and as exciting as you all are, as intelligent and as bright as you all are, we are excited to see what comes. We're excited to see what's in store, but the story is not always positive. There are those who acquire things before they get their wisdom. And those things are lost, squandered, wasted. You remember the story of the prodigal son? Raised in a great home, a God-fearing father, a man who walked with God, had invested and poured himself into that son. And all of a sudden, one day, something louder than wisdom began to talk. Something screaming in his ear said, "You're missing out. You're losing out. You've lost opportunities to have fun." Listen to me, young people. I want you to know something across this auditorium, that when your parents and your grandparents and your pastors and those who influence your life, when they build walls, they're not just building walls to keep you in. Sometimes they're building walls to keep other things out. And it needs to be understood. There are things in this world that want to attach themselves to you like a leech. They want to attach themselves to you like a parasite. And they want to live off of your intelligence and live off of your abilities. There's a song that says what? Shake it off. I'm persuaded I don't need to sing a verse of that right now. A lady in our church bought a sign. I have it in my office right now. It says, "Shake it off." She said, "Pastor, this is what you need the most to be reminded of. You just shake it off," right? And those things will lay a hold of you. And if you let them cling, if you let them stick, slowly but surely they'll take away everything that you've worked hard for. This diploma will mean nothing unless you have wisdom first. We've given you a tool that you can use. We've given you an opportunity that you can experience, a privilege. And this privilege can be squandered or it can be used wisely. And if you don't know how to use it wisely, we'll know that in about a year. That's all it takes. Your freedom is here now. Your opportunities are here now. When I was sitting where you're sitting, I graduated from a Christian school, 11 years in the public school system in South Georgia, and then I graduated from a Christian school with five in our graduating class. I was second. I never, ever regretted graduating from a Christian school. I got a solid education, a wonderful education. Of the five people who graduated with me, only one still attends church. Why? They squandered what they had. They threw it away. 12 years of investment, 12 years of education, 12 years of input, and it's almost like they just hit the delete button. And how do we know? There's no wisdom in their marriage. There's no wisdom in their behavior. The people who graduated from my Christian school in my graduating class, many of them have already been arrested and have done time in prison. What's the difference? Why didn't that happen to me? There is only one answer. If you lay hold of wisdom, and if you embrace wisdom, and if you seek wisdom, and if you use wisdom and apply wisdom and make wisdom the principal thing, if you make sure that wisdom is first, I can assure you, I can predict how your life is going to go. But sadly, if you don't get wisdom first, I can also predict another direction. The school I graduated from, the year I graduated, well, my senior year, I started getting letters in the mail from the Ford Motor Company. Here's what they said. We're excited about your graduation. They weren't excited about my graduation. They just wanted me to buy a car. And they sent this big, really impressive letter. And you know what it said? We have a first-time buyers program that has been tailored for people exactly like you. Oh, it was so appealing. It was so loud. Can you hear that in your ear right now? I get some new wheels my senior year in high school, right? I wanted a car so bad, man. I needed a chick magnet. I was in such bad shape. I was over 6 feet tall and weighed less than 150 pounds. The only anatomy I had was my Adam's apple. I'm telling you, I was a sight. Redhead and freckle-faced. It was terrible. It was awful. And I just dreamed if I could just get a car, if I could just get some hot wheels, man, there's no telling what kind of doors might open. And so I was talking to my mom one day, and I said, I want you to take me down to the Robert Hudson Ford Mercury place down in Moultrie, Georgia. I want you to take me down there, and I'm going to get a pickup truck. And my mom said, okay, if that's what you want. Somehow or another, I crossed paths with my older brother. Being raised without a dad, my older brother was a huge influence on my life. And my older brother looked at me and he said, don't be a fool. And I said, excuse me? He said, don't be foolish. He said, don't sign a line that is going to put you in bondage for 5 years for something that is going to whip your rear end. He said it quite nicely. He told me, he said, I got something you can drive. And I said, really? He said, yeah, I got a 1978 Chevrolet Nova. It was cream on top and brown on the bottom. It'd been sitting under a pecan tree for about 3 years with no carburetor. He said, I'll sell it to you for $300. How much money do you have? I said, well, I happen to have $400. He said, that's great. That's enough to get it, wash it, and repair it, and drive it. And so he twisted my arm with a little piece of wisdom. Don't start life in debt. The borrower is servant to the lender. And when he told me that, it hurt me right in my heart because you know what I wanted, right? You know what I wanted. And I knew what I wanted, but he knew what was best. So I bought that car. I bought it. It got wrecked. A 15-year-old driver hit me from behind. Totaled the car. The insurance company came out and took one look at it, and they said, it's totaled. And I said, no kidding. And they said, we don't want it. And I said, well, I don't want it either. And they said, well, we'll give you $300 to keep it. Now listen to this, I only paid $300 for the car. So I hooked a Massey Ferguson tractor to the back of the car, put it in neutral, and jerked the rear end back out and drove it wrecked for years after that. My wife and I, at that time, she was my girlfriend. When we would go out on a date, she would slump down when she was in that car because it was the kind of car that you kind of, it looked like you were spraying from mosquitoes everywhere you went. Anytime you hit the accelerator, this blue smoke would just bellow out from under that car. And it would backfire and pop and rattle. And all that nice little insulation that you have around your windows, it didn't have that. And the heater didn't work. And I would freeze to death during the winter and heat to death during the summer. And I thought, you know what? I deserve better than this. That's the words of a fool. Did you hear what I just said? That's the words of a fool. So my brother had to talk some sense into me. You have a whole textbook, young people, full of this kind of wisdom. Don't neglect wisdom. If there are three things that the Bible teaches plainly about this subject, it is this. Seek wisdom early. Seek wisdom early. Don't wait until you're 30 to make good choices. It is not taught in God's word that your college career is a time to let your hair down and party hardy and live like a wildcat. That's not taught in God's word. These days, this senior year has been hard work. Don't stop. The minute you let off of the accelerator, you're going to drift backwards, and you're going to fall into the camp of those who are going to be screaming at you, "You deserve to live wild. You deserve to do whatever you feel like doing." Those are not words of wisdom. That's foolishness. Seek wisdom early. That's the priority of wisdom. Number two, seek wisdom eagerly. Well, the Bible talks about wisdom, and not only talks about it in the female gender, but it also talks about wisdom as the gold. Of all of the different accomplishments that you can get, gold is the most valuable. And he says, when you're looking for wisdom, search for it like fine gold. You know what that means? You have to be eager about it. You have to want wisdom more than relationships. You have to want wisdom more than money. Want wisdom more than education. If you seek wisdom with that kind of passion, I promise you, you'll find her. She's not hard to find. She's right there close to you. She's in the book that God gave you. You just have to be willing to open your eyes and listen. Open your eyes and see what she says. Seek wisdom early. That's the priority of it. Seek wisdom eagerly. That's the passion of it. Thirdly and lastly, doesn't that make your flesh feel good? The diplomas are almost here. Are you ready? Seek wisdom effectively. I call that the pursuit of wisdom. Wisdom is not in every person. And I'm going to say something harsh. That means you don't need to listen to every person. Every TV talk show host does not have wisdom. Every psychiatrist and psychologist and attorney do not have wisdom. Some of them scale the ladder of where they are by some other method or by some other means. But what's going to happen is God is going to drop people in your life strategically and periodically. This will not be a crowded journey. If you walk the road of wisdom, it will not be full of people. What you're going to discover is that here and yonder, once in a while, you'll come across somebody who has something really good to say. Something powerful, something life-changing. And they may talk to you about things that may not seem pleasant at the moment, but when you listen closely to their wisdom, if it's based on Scripture, you'll be able to find it effective in your life. The different pieces of advice that I've received down through the years, I've never forgotten them. It's as if there's a built-in memory aid that God gives to us. And I know how fun this age is. I've had fun with all of these seniors, and we've been to camps together and had chapels and activities at school and field trips and all kinds of. I love to scare students. I just love to startle them and frighten them until they almost cry. It's a spiritual gift that God gave me. And so sometimes, and some of them are pretty cold. I got to tell you the truth. Their heart is steel. They cannot be frightened. Brittany does not fit that description. I've scared Brittany enough times that I'm shocked that she's not even on medication after being around me a little bit. I'm the designated bus driver in our church right now. I'm the only one right now that's available and has a commercial driver's license. That new bus we bought's got that big air horn on it. So when these kids, all of them, when they walked in front of the bus, I've blown the horn and scared them. I've had opportunities where I've kind of crept into the building, you know, maybe 8:30-ish, 9 o'clock, maybe a little bit later, and they're in class. Class lets loose, and they come walking out of class, and I just sort of perch myself there waiting for them to come around the corner, and I jump out and scare them to death. One day Malik was in one of the classes down on this side here. I can't remember exactly what class it was, but I thought, you know, I'm going to come in, and I got this big ring of keys, you know, and so I took it and I tossed it up in the air and just let it fall right on his desk. He never even saw it coming, never even heard it coming, and it never even fazed him. He stayed right at work as if nothing had even happened. I told the office, I said, we need to check that boy's hearing. I said, I'm not sure that he's even alive, right? That's a lot of fun. But one of the parts of wisdom that has helped me most is discovering that there's a time to have fun, there's a time to be serious. And when it comes to having fun, there's nobody that likes to have fun more than I do. But when it comes time to get serious, there's nothing to be more serious about than your walk with God, because that is where wisdom's source is. If you're not walking with God, it'll show in about 12 months. Now you have this freedom, this liberty, these opportunities. And all these people are going to be petitioning you. Hey, buy this, do this, live here. And all of these petitioners, they have a hidden agenda. But I can promise you this, the scripture has no hidden agenda. It means what it says, and it says what it means. And it will absolutely be a compass if you'll just give it a little bit of attention. Thank you all for letting me talk to you today. Father, can I pray with you? Father, thank you so much for all four of these graduates. The privilege that we've had, Lord, in the last months to be able to hopefully influence them, inspire them. We pray that in this very night, their hearts will seal every word of instruction, every source of input, and every important truth that they've learned in the school. I pray that it would be sealed right now supernaturally in their heart. Thank you for their parents, the long nights when they had a fever and were sick, and their parents were there. Friends came and friends went, but their parents stayed faithful. The difficult days when the report card was not as they expected it to be, their parents were there encouraging, encouraging, and encouraging. Those difficult times when relationships fell apart, when the bad news came, thank you that their parents were in their corner. Thank you for the students, Father, who they call friends, the good influences, the peers. We thank you for them. We thank you for their instructors in mathematics and science. We thank you, Father, for their instructors in history. But we thank you, Father, for the biblical input that we've been able to impart into their life. We pray that today their memories will not grow dim, but that they will remember what you have taught them. Help them to honor Christ in their decisions. Make their decisions so saturated with wisdom that Christ is exalted in everything they say, everything they do from this day forward. Invest that into them, we pray, in Christ's lovely and precious name. Amen, amen, amen. I love you guys.
Seniors, will you please stand? Dr. Bailey, these seniors have successfully completed the academic requirements for graduation from Freedom Academy and are now ready to receive their diploma. Parents of seniors, when your student's name is called, if you would please come down to the right side of the pulpit on the main floor and allow your student to thank you for helping them reach this milestone tonight in their lives. The first senior this evening, Brittany Hope Mellons. The next senior, Relia Amethyst Rampersad. The next senior, Malik Wanye Thomas Brown. And our last senior this evening, Patrick James Tuffy. Now, I'd ask the congregation to please bow your heads with me as we say a prayer of dedication over these seniors. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you once again for this night and for the milestone in each and every one of these young lady and young men's life. Lord, I thank you for all that you've done, and more importantly, Lord, all that we know you're going to continue to do. Lord, I pray that if there's anything that they've learned throughout their time here, throughout their time in school, is those words that Pastor Bailey just said, get wisdom. Get wisdom, because we know if we get wisdom, if we make that the first thing, then everything else is going to fall in line as you have it planned. Because when we get wisdom, that's when we decide to get out of the driver's seat and let you in the driver's seat of our life. Lord, I pray that you just be with these seniors as they leave this auditorium, that they would just remember that who they are an example of, and who they are a product of. And I pray that they wouldn't forget their past, but they would grow from it and remember that they can always turn to you in a time of prayer. I thank you for all of this in your heavenly name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, seniors, please stand and face the congregation. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my honor to present to you the graduates of 2019. Thank you. once again, I just on behalf of the seniors, I want to thank you all for coming out. And I hope at least, if you've gotten anything from it tonight, you saw what I was telling you about Malik's smile, man. I mean, he just has a radiating smile. And all of these seniors, they're all funny. And they all mean so much to me in their own way. And I thank y'all for coming out. I remember when I was a senior, it wasn't too long ago, just how much it meant to have people there, people that supported them. So thank for y'all once again. I just want to remind everybody that we do have some refreshments, some cake, and some punch out in the lunchroom. I wanted to call it the lunchroom. In the fellowship hall. There we go. So we would invite you all to come out and just take some pictures and enjoy a time of fellowship with these seniors. Thank you, and you are dismissed.
Bye.